Chapter 5. Gareth. As he trudged up the beach beside his young charge, Gareth eyed the small sack Shayla had slung over his shoulder. "Are we having clams for breakfast?" Shayla shot him a woeful look. "I didn't have time to dig up very many. It's not enough to share with more than a few people. I should give them to the king, shouldn't I?"
"Lucky for you, King Owain doesn't eat clams for breakfast," Gareth said. "Bring them to the kitchen for boiling, and you can eat them at the cook's table. I know you spend half your life at it already."
"That's because I'm always hungry."
Gareth shook Shayla's shoulder. "I saw you huddled with the children. I would think that there might be a few nightmares among them over the next day or two."
"Is it true that the body is that of the king's niece?" Shayla said.
"You heard that, did you?" Gareth said. "I can't say for sure. Prince Howell thinks so."
"How could she have come to look like that?" Shayla said. "If she drowned, her body would have been bloated. But if she died a long time ago, wouldn't her body have rotted away?"
"How would you know about that?" Gareth said.
Shayla shrugged. "I've seen plenty of dead animals. In the past, I found the remains of sheep we've lost during the winter. Usually they're just bones by the time I get to them."
"Right, of course."
Gareth nodded, acknowledging that his 12-year-old self would have known as much, which was why it always stumped him when he came across adults who had no experience with dead bodies. Common folk who lived off the land or worked it had a very different perspective on life and death than the nobility. "Regardless of how recently she died, whether last month or years ago, her body was kept in a dry place, and all the moisture leached from her before she could rot."
"Like if you leave a dead frog in the sun," Shayla said.
"Even so," Gareth said.
Shayla's brow furrowed. "I came upon a cave once with a dead sheep inside. The body was all brown and dried out like this body. The wool was still soft."
Gareth nodded. "That sounds like the right kind of place. You probably don't remember since you were so young, but we had a dry spring and summer the year Tegwyn may have died. Crops failed, even on Anglesey, because of it."
Herders had found the high pastures in the mountains parched, along with the lowlands. Creeks and pools that had never failed in living memory had lacked water. Gareth himself had suffered in his trek to Dol Whithelin, finding places to fill his water skins in short supply. The boy driving the cart that would carry Tegwyn's body to Aber Castle had turned the horse around so it faced away from the beach, and Prince Howell stood by the cart bed. Evan nodded at Gareth as he approached and stepped closer.
"I have given a report to Prince Howell."
"I will hear it from him and then from you," Gareth said. "Good work."
While Gareth moved to stand beside Prince Howell, the men formed up behind them. Everyone would walk back to the castle behind the cart to honor the burden it was carrying.
"Tegwyn will receive the ceremony due her, even if 5 years too late," Howell said.
"I'm sorry, my lord," Gareth said. "I wish there was something I could say to make this easier."
"We can find out who murdered her," Howell said. "It's the least I can do. I failed her in life. I refuse to fail her in death."
"How did you fail her?" Gareth said. "It's hardly your fault that she's dead."
Howell sighed.
"She told me she didn't want to marry Bran, and I didn't help her talk to my father. I knew Bran had little regard for her, and was marrying her because she was Cadwashan's daughter, but..."
The muscles around his eyes tightened.
"Marrying for love is rare among noblemen," Gareth said.
"Not in my family," Howell said. "We all marry for love. Why do you think my father sacrificed the church's regard to marry Christina?
He wanted to unite the last remnants of his family."
"He loves her,"
Howell said simply.
"I love Mary. Rin will find a wife soon too, and if he chooses a woman he doesn't love, my father will not accede to his request."
Gareth loved Gwen more than life itself, so he could understand what Howell was saying. And it was certainly true that a Welsh woman of whatever status generally had more say in whom she married than a Norman noblewoman. A couple's ability to elope was codified into Welsh law. King Owain's own sister had eloped with the much older king of Dyheubarth, which was how Gwyneth had become involved in Ceredigion in the first place. While her husband was absent, negotiating a treaty in Gwyneth, a Norman force attacked her castle and killed her by hanging her from the battlement.
"So why didn't your father discourage Tegwyn's union with Bran?" Gareth said.
"I don't know. Maybe her marriage is what made him think about his own unions differently," Howell said. I didn't know my father as well then as I do now. It's hard to think of him as ever being wrong about anything.
Gareth didn't know what to say to that. King Owain had thrown Gareth into a cell a year ago, having accused him of a murder he didn't commit. Howell must have guessed what he was thinking, because he shot him a sardonic glance.
Except when he's angry, my father is usually a good judge of character.
Was Bran a good man? Gareth said. I'm getting the sense that he wasn't.
I didn't know him well.
Howell shrugged.
Many would say that my character leaves much to be desired. And yet my father trusts me, and I have ever sought to serve him. Perhaps the same could be said of Bran.
Gareth bowed his head, granting Howell his point. Given that Bran is dead, he cannot be our immediate concern. He was not the one who left Tegwyn's body on the beach.
We know who left her body on the beach,
Howell said.
Cadwallader, Gareth said.
Howell scowled.
The question now is what drove my uncle to do so 5 years after Tegwyn's disappearance.
5 years after he killed her, Gareth said. Howell held up one finger.
We don't know that. We don't know anything about the circumstances of her death, and until we do, we will not speculate. Yes, my lord.
Gareth acknowledged Howell's authority in this matter, but just because they weren't going to talk about it didn't mean Gareth couldn't think it. The cart started rolling forward, and after a pause for it to get a few yards ahead, Howell lifted his horse's reins to get him moving. Gareth did the same.
My lord, if I may. You were only 15 when Tegwyn married Bran,
Gareth said, changing the subject in order to abide by his prince's wish. Maybe they didn't have to talk about Cadwallader now, but they would have to face his involvement eventually. Gareth knew it was petty of him, but he couldn't be happier to learn of Cadwallader's culpability. The man was a menace, to himself and to his country. King Owain was going to have to face his treachery eventually, and to Gareth's mind, it was better to do so sooner rather than later, before he betrayed them more completely than he already had.
I was a man, Howell said. That should have been enough.
Gareth shook his head. Even if Howell was chastising himself for his failure now, the man he was then would never have interfered in the marriage of his cousin, no matter how much he loved her. Howell's concern for Tegwyn did shed new light on his intervention in his sister's marriage to Anadoud, who by all accounts hadn't been a good man either. In fact, it might explain everything. Shayla tugged on Gareth's sleeve.
Da!
Shayla had started calling him that in the last week since Gareth had returned from Kedah Dagion. It was a familiarity that warmed Gareth's heart, and he hoped their coming baby wouldn't put Shayla off, or make him jealous. Every child needed an older brother, two in this case, though Dai, for all his youthful enthusiasm, was taking longer to warm up. I found out one more thing. One of the boys I talked to lives to the west of the beach. He, Kedi, heard a cart pass by as he was returning from the latrine in the middle of the night. Carts never pass by at that hour, so he ran after it to see who it was.
Howell came out of his reverie and looked past Gareth to Shayla. Did Kerry recognize the driver?
It was too dark to make out the features of either the driver or a second man who walked ahead of the cart. Both were well wrapped in cloak and hood, but he knew the horse.
That was the kind of news Gareth lived for.
Go on.
Shayla's eyes were bright. The horse pastures on a steading west of the Eber River and just south of the road to Penrhyn. Gareth looked at Prince Howell.
Do we know who lives there?
Howell's brow furrowed.
I'm trying to think. I should know.
He looked at Shayla.
Once we get Tegwyn settled at Eber, we want to speak to the boy and his parents. Do you know where they live?
Shayla nodded. Yes, my lord.
Which was only as Gareth would have expected. He and Gwen had taken on Shayla and Dai out of charity, as two boys lost in the expanse of England, but it was the boys who'd added joy to their lives. Shayla had turned out to be thoughtful, responsible, and mature beyond his years. He was also curious and energetic, and combining all those qualities together had produced a boy who dug clams in the early hours of the morning and knew every farm and homestead, and their inhabitants, from here to Bangor. Although Gareth had been absent all summer in Kedah Dagion and hadn't witnessed it himself, Gwen reported that Shayla and Dai had ranged all over the region since they'd come home. At Aber, they joined the pack of boys that included Gwokmai, Gwen's brother, and Yorworth, the king's eldest son by his first wife.
Gladys. Under Christina's rule, the boys had found Aber Castle less hospitable than before her tenure. Particularly now that she was pregnant, she had shown resentment towards King Owain's sons by other women, and the boys had learned very quickly that life went more smoothly when they stayed out of her way. "Stay close so I don't have to hunt you down later, and don't speak of this to anyone else. I believe this investigation will be one of the more..." Gareth glanced at Howell, who'd gone back to ruminating on his failings. "Delicate ones we've undertaken." "Yes, da," Shayla said, and fell back to walk behind Gareth with the other soldiers. It was only a half mile from the beach to Aber Castle, a short walk, if somber. The driver brought the cart to a halt before entering the castle, and King Owain came out from underneath the gatehouse to greet them. He paced towards Prince Howell, who bowed along with everyone else at his approach. Gareth and the other men held that position until Howell raised his head.
"Sire," Howell said. "I'd like to see her for myself before you take her inside," King Owain said.
Howell stepped to the cart bed and gently peeled back the hood that covered Tegwyn's face. King Owain reached out a hand, hovering it over her hair and hesitating.
"Do you really think this is she, son? Her features are unrecognizable, and her hair has more red in it than I remember." "Perhaps, but you haven't yet seen the whole of her."
With two fingers, Howell carefully opened the cloak at her throat and lifted up the garnet ring that rested on its chain.
"This was hers, as was the cloak."
He pointed to the embroidery on the hem. King Owain recoiled slightly, but recovered after a moment and moved closer again. This time, he rested a hand on the top of her head.
"What became of you that your life ended here?"
As a kinswoman, Tegwyn's welfare had been King Owain's responsibility more than Howell's. King Owain's father, also named Gryfydd, like Tegwyn's grandfather, had been king at the time, but Owain had already shouldered much of the responsibility for the kingdom by the time Tegwyn married Bran. Her death was made all the worse by the fact that he'd pictured her happy, far away in another land. They'd mourned her at the time as they would have mourned any similar loss, but this was a different kind of grief. Pain was etched into the king's face as he turned to his son.
"Gwen says Tegwyn was murdered." "It seems so, father."
King Owain touched the side of Tegwyn's head, feeling at her scalp as they all had. Howell didn't stop him. A crowd of people had followed the king out of the castle, gathering around the cart and the soldiers who'd accompanied it from the beach. Gareth didn't know that he'd ever seen people as silent as they, not even at chapel, as they watched their king stand over the fallen princess. Finally, King Owain sighed and covered Tegwyn's face again.
"You will find out who did this."
"Yes, father."
And with those simple words, King Owain once again delegated a sensitive and difficult task to this younger son. With a wave from King Owain, the driver of the cart urged his horse through the gate and into the courtyard of the castle. Howell hung back to confer with Gareth, allowing his father the opportunity to walk behind the cart alone.
"We need to move quickly. Hallowmas is only a day away. My father will want to see real progress between now and then."
Gareth didn't know how that was going to be possible, but he would certainly try. He didn't say as much to Howell, however, merely nodded. Once inside the castle, he signaled that his men should see to their duties. They dispersed, and Gareth tossed the reins of his horse to one of the stable boys who came forward to take them.
"While I speak to whoever had guard duty from midnight to dawn," Howell said, "you find Gwen. Meet me in my office."
"Yes, my lord."
It was on the tip of Gareth's tongue to suggest that he join Howell and speak to the guard with him, but then he thought better of it. There was a glint in Howell's eye this morning that told Gareth it would be best for everyone if he did as he was told, and didn't question his orders without a very good reason to do so. Thus, he left Howell to his task and went in search of Gwen. He found Mylir first. There was a time when any interaction with Mylir would have been awkward and uncomfortable for both of them. But either Mylir had mellowed since Gareth's marriage to Gwen, or Gareth had, or both. Gareth found himself actually glad to see his father-in-law.
"A bad business," Mylir said, by way of a greeting.
"Indeed,"
Gareth said.
"I accompanied Gwen to see the king,"
Mylir said.
"Thank you for that,"
Gareth said, and meant it.
"It was a difficult task. If I couldn't be with her myself, I'm glad you could."
Mylir didn't seem to know what to say to that, but his lips pressed together as if he was pleased.
We don't know much more than we did before, Gareth said. I'll be off in a moment with Prince Howell, in pursuit of the few leads we currently have. I assume you will limit my daughter's involvement in what will surely be a lengthy investigation, Mylar said. Of course, Gareth bowed slightly. I appreciate your concerns. He said this, even though he knew as well as Mylar that a man limited Gwen at his peril. Then Gareth smiled to see the woman herself appear in the doorway of the Great Hall. There you are. Gwen came down the steps and hurried across the courtyard towards him. Gareth broke away from Mylar to meet her halfway. He caught her in a tight hug and then released her. Your father was just telling me of your ordeal. I survived. She nodded towards the cart. Only now were men lifting the body from it. You brought Tegwyn home, I see.
She'll lie in a room in the barracks until we can bury her, Gareth said.
Mylar cleared his throat, causing Gwen to turn to him.
Hello, father.
I don't like to see you involved in this, Gwen. Not with my first grandchild on the way.
Gareth almost said something mocking, but then looked away, hoping Mylar hadn't noticed. Mylar hadn't changed so much that pomposity was beyond him.
I will do nothing to endanger the child, father.
Gwen put a hand on his arm and went up on her toes to kiss his cheek.
Gareth will make sure that anything dangerous takes place as far away from me as possible. I won't even leave Eber, I promise.
That's what you always say, Mylar said, grumbling.
And I always mean it, Gwen said.
Gareth looked down at Gwen.
Prince Howell asked that we meet him in his chambers.
She took Gareth's hand while smiling at her father.
We can talk later.
Mylar waved his hand at his daughter, a growl still on his lips.
Take care of her.
Yes, sir,
Gareth said. As they walked back inside, he touched Gwen's rounded belly and kissed her cheek.
Are you really all right?
I'm fine. A little sad that this has happened.
Howell has already impressed upon me the urgency of sorting out at least something of what happened to her by tomorrow evening,
Gareth said, and related the details of what they discovered since she'd left the beach, including the information about the cart and Cadwallader's pendant. He concluded, King Owain will certainly bury her before the sun sets tomorrow evening.
It is making everyone uncomfortable that her body turned up right before Hallowmas. They fear her ghost, Gwen said.
Gareth eyed his wife.
Do you?
Of course not, but maybe Cadwallader does, Gwen said.
Gareth's brows came together.
Why do you say that?
Because he left the body on the beach, Gwen said. Why would he do that unless he was afraid of her somehow?
He kept the body hidden for 5 years, Gareth said. Why would it bother him now, when it didn't before?
That I don't know, Gwen said. But people are already saying in the hall that she walks among us. Someone saw a white light along the road last night, and in another hour, half the castle will have seen it too.
Gareth nodded slowly.
I would be more afraid of the man who murdered her than of Tegwyn herself.
You would, but you don't believe in ghosts.
Why leave her on the beach now, though? Cadwallader has to know that 5 years on, the only possible outcome of bringing her death to light is to stir up trouble.
Maybe he preferred trouble to retribution, Gwen said, though I think there has to be more to it than that.
Gareth raised his eyebrows.
What more?
I think we're looking at this wrong. Cadwallader may not have felt he had a choice but to move the body, since it may be that he only recently found it.
Gareth stopped outside Howell's door, looking down at his wife.
Cadiad, how could that possibly be right? Cadwallader would know where he left the body.
And then his eyes narrowed as he understood what she was saying.
You think the man who killed her and the man who left the body on the beach aren't the same person?
Gwen nodded. As much as we all would like to see Cadwallader hang for Tegwyn's murder, I am wondering if there aren't two opposing minds at work here. One belongs to the man who hid the body, the killer. Knowing we all thought Tegwyn happy somewhere else, he never wanted her found. The second man feels exactly the opposite. He wants the body as far away from him as possible and doesn't want to be reminded of it ever again.
Gareth rubbed his chin. That Cadwallader was to blame for Tegwyn's death would wrap this investigation up in a neat bow. He didn't want Gwen to be right, but the more he considered what she'd said, the more he had to grant the possibility that she was.
Gwen's brow remained furrowed in concentration.
I confess that the latter sounds more like Cadwallader than the former.
Gareth urged Gwen across the threshold of Howell's office and closed the door behind them. Howell was alone in the room.
Have you caught the killer yet?
Not quite, Gwen said.
Gwen has decided that the killer and the man who left the body on the beach are two different people, Gareth said. Is that where we are now?
Howell said.
It's an idea, Gareth said.
Under the circumstances, it is one you may prefer.
Howell's mouth twisted into an apologetic smile.
I had considered it.
Then he looked at Gwen.
Thank you for speaking to my father. It went well? He didn't eat you, I see.
He was angry at first, but then was more sad than anything else. She looked around the room. How did you convince Mary not to join us?
Howell grimaced.
Breakfast did not sit well with her.
Gwen focused on Howell's face. I noticed that she was picking at her meal. She took a step towards the prince.
Mary is with child?
Gareth's mouth fell open. That wouldn't have been his first thought, but then, he apparently wasn't thinking clearly this morning in many ways.
Howell's face split into a grin.
We think so.
That's wonderful.
Gwen threw her arms around Howell and hugged him. Then she backed off, holding both of his hands.
But I just spoke with her. She said nothing to me.
We swore to each other that we wouldn't mention it until we were sure,
Howell said. Gwen hadn't told Gareth she was pregnant until she was sure either, and they'd both held the news in for half the summer during Gareth's absence. It did no one any good to raise hopes, only to dash them later.
You can tell her I guessed. And I didn't get a chance to tell Gareth yet, but she's already helped this investigation. She knew Tegwyn better than any of us, I think.
Gwen gave the men an account of her conversation with Mary. Howell began to pace in front of the window. He left the shutters open except in the bitterest of weather. Today it was warmer outside than in.
I spoke to the men on guard. Those on duty after midnight saw nothing and heard nothing.
Except for the light that passed by on the road, Gwen said.
Howell stopped his pacing.
What was that?
The talk in the Great Hall is that one of the guards saw, well, an ethereal light passing along the road in the early hours of the morning. He has the entire hall convinced that it was Tegwyn's ghost.
Howell snorted in disgust.
That's just what we need. A haunting. Next thing we know, the shade of Tegwyn will be meeting Bran at midnight in the woods, since he had the poor judgment to get himself killed too.
Gareth nodded.
Ill-fated lovers.
My lord, I am loath to bring this up, but when do you plan to tell your father about Cadwallader?
Gwen said. Gareth sent a look of thanks in Gwen's direction, but she was focused on the prince and didn't see it. Howell resumed his pacing.
I say we wait to speak of Uncle Cadwallader until we track down this horse and cart and determine where the body came from.
He glanced at Gwen.
Gareth and I will see to that, while you find out about Tegwyn's last days.
Gwen put her hands on her hips.
You give me all the thankless tasks. Do you have any suggestions as to how I might accomplish that?
Howell ignored Gwen's irritation.
Everyone has gathered at Aber for the holy day. The sudden appearance of her body will bring memories to the surface. Gather them.
More specifically, Gareth said,
Mary spoke of Tegwyn's unhappy marriage and of a lover. Who was he? Where is he now? What might he know of the events leading up to her disappearance? Someone here has to be able to tell us more about her life.
Gwen looked thoughtful now, instead of defiant.
Yes, my lord.
Meanwhile, Gareth and I?
Howell halted his pacing, his expression clearing with the promise of activity.
Off again.
Privately, Gareth was still wondering if the body really was that of Tegwyn, and not someone else wearing her clothing and necklace, but one look at Howell's face had him swallowing down any argument. He would go where his lord pointed, as he always did.